I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba. Elba will score! Elba will score! Newcastle has won!
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the catch up. It's been a hot minute since I've had the rugby league guru on the show, but by popular demand, we had to bring you back.
Yeah, good episode last. I don't know what that noise was, by the way. That was bizarre. Last week, obviously, Shakmandu and Kathmandu got stuck into work. I had my hands full. Isn't Shaq a good fella?
Oh, he's the best. And, you know, sought education in the same facility as you as well. So by default, a great replacement for
Another of the alumni from the College of Knowledge. And we're going to talk about another one soon in the world of soccer, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how I never knew anyone from Waverley all these years. My auntie did work there, though, fun fact. But I never knew anyone. And now in the matter of a few months, I've met a lot of people from that institution.
Yeah, there's a few getting around. You're probably going to meet a few more over the next few months, dare I say. But shout out to the College of Knowledge, doing good things.
Love that. Now, as we said, it's been a hot minute since you were in the chair for the catch up.
Yep.
Let's catch up. What's been going on your end?
Yeah, well, on last Tuesday, when you filmed the catch-up last week with Shaq, I was actually at Allianz Stadium filming our bloke ad for the 2024 jersey.
Your home stadium?
My home, yeah, sure. we went there, we filmed the ad. You guys would have seen it on social media. I personally thought it was some of our best work ever. It was cool to get into like Allianz Stadium and sort of walk through the insides of it. We were in like the change rooms and everything, which was cool to see. Bloody impressive, the change rooms. It's like I walked into the home change rooms and it's probably about the size of this studio, which doesn't help you guys at home in any way, shape or form, but a pretty big room with like 25, you know, lockers around the outside. And then it had a room to the bathrooms, which had like 25, you know, cubicles and showers and everything in it. I was like, wow. And then there was a little hallway at the end. I walked down there and there was another one of those, then another hallway, then another one of those. So like the home change rooms, I reckon there's 90 lockers and 90 individual bathrooms in that area. It's bloody impressive. It was very, very impressive to see. And we then got to go into the video room and film our thing, which was quite a bit.
So that was the theatre where they do a lot of the team.
Yeah, it was a theatre where they do their video and sessions stuff and all that sort of stuff. So that was cool to see. Very, really good fun and a little bit awkward because obviously like we were screaming and yelling and Maddie was punching Kempy in the dick and Timmy was
Maddie's wanted to do that for a while as well.
Mate,
I've never seen the better method acting in all my life.
And he gave us no indication that was coming. We were like, oh, why don't you punch Kempy in the dick? And he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, cool, that'll be good. And then he knelt down, he just started screaming and we were like, holy fuck. Shout out to Lukey Stowe who helped us record that. An absolute wizard behind the camera.
Cinematic masterpiece. I saw some because I had a bit of a sneak peek a few days before when you got the video and I knew it would do well on socials.
Yeah.
But I love the comments saying it was a cinematic masterpiece and obviously the apparel's done well, the merch has done well. well out of it.
Yeah, it's flying. And it was as funny as we were standing out the front of the change rooms getting ready to go in, it was just me and Timmy standing there. And we obviously knew we were about to film something that was going to be, you know, we're standing in Allianz Stadium wrestling Kempe and doing the people's elbow and nipple crippling him. We're like, okay, this is going to be a pretty embarrassing and loud thing. We're kind of used to doing this stuff. But I'll tell you who walked past as we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Maguire.
Did he?
I've never seen Michael Maguire in real life. He is intimidating as fuck.
Is he a big guy?
Yeah, he's built like a brick shit house. I saw him coming from a distance away and I said to him, I go, is that Madge? And the closer he got, he is just, you know those guys that just have like, they've got big forearm, big chest. Like he is just an intimidating fella. And like when I look back now and like when he did that Tales of Tiger Town and all that sort of stuff and he was yelling and swearing.
Mm.
I would have been absolutely shitting myself in that room. He's a real intimidating, got that real sort of alpha vibe to him, which actually filled me with a lot of confidence heading into the State of Origin series.
Funnily enough, I wouldn't have picked that. He doesn't come across as a big burly guy on screen.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's just thick and like he looks strong. Human. He's like he very much so has like that dad that you wouldn't fuck with,
right?
Sort of vibe.
Yeah.
He obviously takes very good care of himself. Wait,
the
Madge.
Dad of New South Wales.
He's the dad of New South Wales. Yes, yeah. He's the daddy of New South Wales. Don't mess with him. He's going to get the job done for us.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, it was great. So, I don't know how much of our ad that Madge heard or what he saw, but I hope he didn't lose any respect for us because we were beating the shit out of a Queenslander. So I hope he appreciates that.
You only gained respect by doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Well, it was a great video and it's perfectly suited to the catch up because it was a social media piece. But love the comments and I think it is the start of the type of cinematic masterpieces that you guys will be producing.
What do you think of my Ted Lasso performance?
You're so natural in that role.
I started doing my bits and pieces and I thought, geez, I've done well here. This is going to be really good. And then Maddie stepped up and I was like, oh, no. Maddie's the star of the show here.
Yeah, that was the Academy Award winning moment.
Mate, that was Maddie's Super Bowl and he absolutely nailed it. Love to see it.
Good on you, Maddie. And all that, he earned that moment. Do you know what I mean?
Sure did.
All the stuff he's gone through working for Bloke, he needed that moment to just let it out.
Yeah, it was unreal. I can't wait to use there's a few little content pieces that I've actually got to get off Lukey. I know Lukey watches every week, so I'll reach out to you soon. But there's a few things, especially of me and Tim, that I want to get that we can use as content.
Unreal. I can't wait to see it.
So good times, good fun.
All right. So let's jump into the first story of the week. Now, this is one I have provided Guru with an image that you're now seeing on the screen. But this was a bit of an unfortunate event where Jack Bird was gifted his 150th NRL jersey to commemorate, obviously, the fact that he is playing his 150th game. But unfortunately, there was a bit of an error in the writing and the team wasn't the Dragons, it was the Dargons. And this has shaken social media because it's obviously they can't be doing things like this. But to top it off, there's also footage of New Brown's jersey where there was also a spelling error. And once again, you'll see that on the screen. So can we just talk about this happening in the first place? You can't be doing this.
And this also goes back further too. I saw James Graham had a jersey from his 200th that he put up as well. It was at Net Strata and it was called Net Strata Rada Stadium. It was even worse. This has been going on for years in the Dragons, which is wild. I don't want to shit on this guy that's just making little mistakes at his job. We've all been there.
But oh, yeah.
How the hell does this – like, I would – and, you know, like, we're obviously not in this business, but you send what you want on the merch.
Mm.
And, like, I would imagine it's pretty straightforward. You just copy and paste. I'd love to know if it's the embroiderer's fault or if someone at the Dragons has made a mistake. I'm not too sure. I'd like to think – The team at the St. George Illawarra Dragons could spell dragons, but crazier things have happened in rugby league, Kathmandu.
This is true. Its spelling can go a little a little off after a couple of head knocks as well, so you just never know.
Bloody hell, a few head knocks, a few brewskis, it can all go wrong.
Yeah. Look, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that deep at the end of the day, but hopefully they've replaced Jack Bird's for his 150th and given him one that says the Dragons.
Shout out to Jack Bird too. He's had to go the long and the hard way around to play 150 first grade games. I've always said Jack Bird's one of the most talented juniors I've ever seen, Kat, but it was well known when Jack was 14 that he probably wouldn't play much first grade because he had this – he's got this disease in his bones that when he was 14, the Dragons were spending thousands of dollars a week or something to give him these shots to keep it's some sort of like arthritis disease that he's got. And it was well known when he was in the juniors, this guy is the best talent at this age group, but he's probably going to play to a max of 23, 24. So I remember when he came into the comp in his first, maybe second year of first grade, he won a comp with Cronulla. He broke his elbow in the grand final. I thought, oh, thank God, this guy's so talented. At least he's got a premiership before his career comes to an end. 10 years later, he's still running around doing the damn thing. He's been through so many injuries and whatnot, Jack Bird. So, you know, when you want to look at guys and how tough they are and whatnot, Jack Bird, he needs to be right at the top of that conversation.
Definitely. And he is that guy. And I think that there's a lot of respect for him in the game. Mm. So hopefully he keeps doing his thing, make it 200. We'll see. But let's talk about player content, because this does come up every now and again when we find that a footy player is very content driven and they understand that they need to have a presence on social media. And Joey Manu is a perfect example of that, because I think I have been living under a rock. I didn't realize he's been vlogging every single game week. But it was a particular vlog from this past week where it was just so entertaining and I sat through all of it. It's great content, but he's joined a lineup of Sualii, Taylan May, all these players that have their own YouTube channels and they're making content. And I think this is what we want to see. This is the evolution of the game.
You said you'd living under a rock. I didn't know this existed in any way, shape or form. And I saw the bit of content going around this week with Terrell May, and I thought, the fuck is that from? And then obviously realize where it's come from, which is cool. I'm going to have to catch up on all these. I assume he probably did one for Las Vegas as well. So I'm keen to catch up on that. But yeah, really cool. And, you know, especially from a club like the Roosters, Kat, they've always just been so buttoned up and nothing gets out of there.
And I couldn't agree more, because the actual nature of the vlog is so casual and laid back, and they're all just kind of taking the piss and having fun. And it's a version of the Roosters that you don't really get.
Yeah.
We get that posh version all the time. They are that club with that kind of reputation, but it's really cool to see in Joey's vlog that the guy, they're just everyday lads.
Yeah, for sure. And like I've said it to you before over the last few months, like when Brandon Smith started doing his show with James Graham, I said to you a few months ago, I was like, geez, I don't know how the Roosters are going to feel about this. Mm. Like they've always been so buttoned up and, you know, nothing gets out. It's interesting to see Cheese like doing that. And I genuinely thought to myself, like, fuck, I wonder if the Roosters will have the shits of Cheese for that. But obviously the Roosters are just leaning into this stuff now. Like you've got these guys doing the vlogs, you've got Cheese on his podcast, which I'm all for. It's a cracking podcast, by the way, with James Graham, two of the greats there. It is just really, really good to see, and it's a good sign of the times in the NRL that any club that maybe isn't up to date with this sort of stuff yet, if the Roosters are doing it, who have just been so buttoned up for so long and everything behind closed doors, it is a great sign that you need to catch up. If you're an NRL club not doing this, which to their credit, I reckon 80% of teams have realised and are doing it.
Oh, definitely.
You know, we've obviously done stuff with Parramatta. We've done stuff with Canterbury. Might have some stuff with the Warriors coming up as well, which is really exciting. Clubs are just ticking the right boxes now.
And it's a great. Few are really leading the way with content as a club, but it's really cool to see the players doing this stuff as well.
Yep, 100%.
It's Sean Johnson too. He was vlogging. I was watching his vlogs, I think, as far back as a year or two ago. So he's been doing a lot in that space. But you mentioned the Terrell May clip.
Yeah.
Now I wanted to bring this up because obviously you're the king of Supercoach. He asked Terrell May if he had a message or his thoughts for people who had traded him out.
Yeah.
And this just couldn't be more relevant to you.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this.
It's all right.
What do you want to say to him?
How good is that? Look what I've just done. Obviously scored two tries on the weekend, 120 Supercoach points. Absolutely killed it, Terrell May. And I held him with the plan to play him and, yeah, just got caught up with life, Kathmandu. Celebrated his second try. How good. High-fived Beck. She begrudgingly did a high-five for me. And then I opened my team an hour later and realized, nope. Didn't play him.
Oh, no.
Really, really hurt. No. I know. I feel for people out there that traded him. But personally, I think I would have rather traded him and known, okay, I couldn't have played him anyway.
At least I didn't have him on my team.
Than keeping him and just shitting the bed as per fucking usual.
Yeah.
And it didn't separate me and Tim Williams this week. He beat me by about 80.
Mm.
And there wasn't an 80-point gap between who I went instead of Terrell May. But, yeah, it would have got it a little bit closer. So yeah, another little costly decision there.
It's a tough watch, that one. So that video really was for you.
I think it was directly for me.
Yeah, I think so too. I did play him, actually. So I got the 120 points. But it wasn't enough to beat Timmy or Guru. But anyway, you'll find out more about that on Beers and Breakevens.
Yeah, Timmy had an annoyingly good week.
He had a very, very good week.
We both used a boost too. So,
did you?
Yeah, I made a last minute choice to use a boost, brought in one David Fifita. So,
who is the man of town right now? We've got to talk about that.
Yeah,
once again, I mean,
you thought it was big him going to Penrith. What about him coming into the Gurus Grizzlies 3 minutes before kickoff?
Oh, no,
I was
talking about that.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, big talking point at the moment.
It definitely is. And I'm sure that you'll be talking about it aplenty this week. Speaking of Terrell May, all three May brothers scored a try, and I am pointing out specifically Roasty's graphic for this one because, once again, he doesn't miss a beat. He's all over it. But three May brothers scoring a try in the first weekend of May, it's romantic.
Yeah, it's wild. And, I mean, like, one's a 5'8", one's a front row forward. And honestly, the one that was probably the least likely to score was the fucking center. He hasn't scored a try all year. He's been very quiet, Taylan. Not been his fault. I think the guys inside him aren't doing him any favors. But yeah, for all three of them to score in the first weekend of May, wild. And so good to see. Like that's just something that I wouldn't even think of. And I imagine there would have been a moment where Roasty was making this content and he went, Taylan, Terrell, and then he would have been Googling to see the results from, I don't even know who Tyrone May is playing for at the moment. I genuinely don't even know. I want to say the Wildcats, could be completely wrong, but I imagine there would have been a moment where he looked up their game from the weekend and saw T May on the score sheet and just went, how bloody good. So yeah, it's good to see content like that come together. Roasty's just the absolute king.
He is the content king, and I need to get him on an episode of The Catch Up. Just, I want to know the behind the scenes for Roasty and how he processes all of this stuff in live time and then works out what's going to hit the best as content, because he's just got it down to a fine art. Also, he plays for Hull KR.
Hull KR, yeah, the Rovers. Roasty might actually be in town next week, so maybe we can make something work for that, because then we'll be going up to Magic Round. I assume Roasty's joining us up there. I'd be shocked if he's not.
And I think the Magic Round content, I'll probably do something for the catch up around Magic Round, be it any interviews that I can get or behind the scenes content. I think we'll try and make that one as Magic Round orientated as possible.
Got a few things lined up for that too, which is exciting. Yeah. Well, actually, you've lined up the vast majority of them, to be completely fair. I've been one of the great passengers of all time, but
that's
some
all
exciting
right.
things.
Yeah.
With some of my
I've taken the wheel
too.
And that there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm into that. It's good. Yeah. I like it.
Awesome. So now, speaking of, we may be doing some stuff with the Dolphins next week.
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting. And the next story is about Kafusi, who plays for the Dolphins, because his hairline was making headlines over the weekend. I was saying to you earlier, I ran into John Bernard on Sunday night, and his first question to me was, are you going to talk about Kafusi's hairline on The Catch Up? Of course I'm going to talk about his hairline. So I've given you the links, Guru, but basically what you're looking at is a reverse skin fade. And it is very confusing, okay? It's somewhere between a mullet for a balding person or just a hairline that is set so far back that you shouldn't even bother. He was happy to make a bit of a joke about it and said he's fully aware that he doesn't have the best hairline and that because he can't get to Turkey to get a hair transplant, he's just having some fun with it.
I noticed it the week before and thought, this is the best thing ever. He must have done this on purpose.
Yeah.
This is fucking all time. And I'm not sure what the exact context is with it, as with most things in rugby league, but I just thought this was hilarious. And I think it is such a good sign of like club culture when you've got the old boys getting into stuff like this.
For
like,
sure.
I imagine he's just trying to give the young guys a laugh.
He's just clearly doesn't take himself too seriously.
It's great. Yeah. It's unreal. And this is, you know, he's not 22, like Felicia's at the back end of his career, and he just knows that people will get a good kick out of this. I absolutely love it. Have I told you the story about Magic Round last year when I was walking out of the Caxton at about 3 a.m.
No, you haven't.
Two girls came up and like grabbed me with my arms, and they were like, "Oh, we're Finn Diesel's sisters." And I was like, "What the fuck is a Finn Diesel?" And they're like, "Finn Diesel, Felice." And then I put it together. I was like, "Oh my God, how good's that?" Yeah. So they turns out they were Felice's two sisters. And like, obviously, the Dolphins were only 10 weeks old then. And they were just talking about how much of a great experience it's been for him, how much he loves it, all these fantastic things. And I was asking about him, and they were telling us how much of a funny guy he is, how much a good guy he is. And you see stuff like this, and you're just like, yeah, he gets it.
Yeah.
He absolutely gets it.
He definitely gets it. Yeah. I love stuff like this. And then in the same breath, you've also got someone like Matt Lodge, who a few weeks ago responded to his new hair and is very open about the fact that he had a hair transplant. In fact, he said it cost him less than some Sundays on the punt, which is good. It's good to hear that he's put his money somewhere and invested in himself. But this is a reality for so many men, and I don't think it should be shamed. I don't think it should be – it's not a joke. It's just – it's a journey for some men and not for some others, but I like that they're just speaking very openly about it.
I love that Matty Lodge is just owning it. I think it's unreal. It's great. And I shaved my head for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Mum got cancer like 10 years ago now. So when she shaved her head, I did the same thing. And then I just got used to it, and I was like, life is so much easier. So I had no hair for like 5 or 6 years. And then I was sitting about 3 years ago, I was sitting around the table with my dad's family, and just every single male over the age of 40 was bald, like didn't have a choice in not having hair. And I thought, you know what, whilst I've still got the opportunity, I'm going to grow it back out and see how we go. So it was a nervous couple of months to see if my hair was going to come back.
And
it
what the hairline was like.
What the hairline was like as well. Thankfully it did, but I think I'm on borrowed time as well. But my advantage is that I've already lived the bald life, so I'm more than happy to go back to it.
And you know what, you obviously know it suits you.
Well, I think it suited me to some extent. People just get fucking used to it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so yeah, I think I'll be joining that crew very soon. I think I'll be more on the Felice Kaufusi side than the Matty Lodge side.
A reverse fade situation.
Love that.
Guru with a reverse fade. Who wants to see that?
Good fun.
I love that. But anyway, yes, as we said, it's all very lighthearted. It's fun stuff. It's not that deep. It made me think though, some of the best hairstyles that are currently in the game. A standout for me, without question, is Nyko Hines and his hair, and because of how iconic it is.
Yeah.
But my favorite, most luscious hair would be Tino's.
Yeah, Tino's very good.
That's a mullet and a half.
It is one hell of a mullet. I'm a big Ryan Pappenhausen guy. Yeah. Love Goldie his Lux. Hair. Dallin Watene's Lesniak.
Oh yeah.
Good huge point. On Dallin's.
For someone who I do actually have curly hair naturally.
Yeah.
I look at curls like that, and it's not easy, you know. There's a lot of maintenance that goes into looking after your hair like that and making it look so luscious.
I would not have the slightest clue.
Yeah. We've had conversations about hair before.
Honestly, people at home would not believe the amount and just the sheer hours of conversation we've had about hair, with Kat telling me stuff that the way she tells me it, I assume, is very well-known, easy shit, and I am, like, mind-blown as far as extensions, curls, all this sort of stuff.
It's because I have extensions in, because I don't know if anyone at home remembers, but when I first started with Guru, which was only 3-ish months ago, I had hair up to here. It was shoulder length, and I came back a week later and I had really long hair, and he never noticed that my hair had changed, because apparently you can grow hair overnight.
I just didn't even notice. It's just, and I'm sure there's a lot of dudes out there that are the same, but then my wife came in here one day and she's like, "Oh, look at your hair." And I was like, "What about her hair? What's happened here? What's doing?"
So funny. But then some men are really good at noticing the changes. So
I feel those guys. Yeah. They make the rest of us look bad. Just pretend like you don't notice. Do everyone else a favor.
That's hilarious. Well, maybe some guys are just paying too close of an attention to me. That might be it. Okay, let's move on. We've got some iconic hairstyles. I'd like to say that mine's pretty iconic myself, and yours is soon to be with your reverse fade.
Yes, very soon. Yeah,
can't wait for that.
Yeah, I've had some shockers over my time too.
You have had some shockers.
Some real shockers. I don't think you even know what I'm talking about, but I've had some. I'm
actually
real
keen to know about this because I myself have also had so many different hairstyles.
Yeah, I've had a few, like when I was young, sort of really short at the front, big party at the back going on.
Oh, okay.
That was a lot to take.
Are we talking a mullet or is it?
Nah, not so much a mullet. It was more of a it was more so like my mates now look at those photos and say I went through a bit of like a Polynesian phase with my hair at the back. So that's good fun. And for those of you playing at home, not Polynesian, obviously. Couldn't pull it off either for those playing at home as well, nor can I pull off the footballing ability. I've had a few poor moments.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had any, you know, party, work at the front, party at the back type situations, but I've been like different. I've been quite blonde.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Which would be quite interesting. I can't imagine that.
I think I'll go blonde when I'm, you know, grey when I'm older and it's just easier to maintain. That's what my mum's done. She's like.
She's blonde, is she?
Yeah. But my mum's Irish background, so she's got lighter hair anyway. Yeah. This would be a lot of maintenance if I was to go blonde. But we're really digressing here, aren't we?
We are. But I do feel like at some point in my future, whilst I've got hair, I feel like at some point a bet's going to come along, and whether it be about even or bloke or hair. Where
would you
maybe
be
the bleached blonde?
I've got a question.
I'd love to do that with Timmy.
Would you be more precious about having to bleach your beard or bleach your hair?
Oh, I've actually have bleached my.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Beard before I did it for like a cancer thing, so I did like the David Williams fluoro pink. That was a lot. Actually, I'll probably get a photo of that. But yeah, that was quite.
Yeah, we can put that up.
An experience. You know what? I'm really, really hoping, and I think I'm pretty safe. Surely that hopefully the beard never departs me because I got a head like a bowling ball, and that would really do me.
Oh,
in.
Wow!
So yeah, I had like proper.
You're gonna send that to me.
You guys will see it on the screen, but I had like proper
show
a pink beard. I don't know why I didn't do the mo as well. That looked like a serial killer.
So you just had a pink going on around here, and then regular mo.
Yeah, why I do not know. Weird choice.
That was a weird style choice. Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on. Now, we mentioned earlier that Waverley is the education institution of so many legends.
College of Knowledge.
Yeah, the College of Knowledge. It has produced the rugby league guru, the Shaq TV. It also produced the Massimo Luongo, who plays for Ipswich Town, which is your favourite football team.
Yeah, I think we've said it before in previous episodes. Mass was in my year at high school. Very, very good fellow. Obviously, a very talented soccer player, Kathmandu.
Yeah, which I'm sorry, I said football again.
Yep, I know. which I, obviously being a rugby league guy, you know, soccer's never been – I was going to say it's never been a big deal. It's never been a deal to me, realistically. Yeah. So I didn't – at the time, I probably didn't actually realise how good Massimo was at soccer. And then obviously – I think like a third of the way through year 12, he just disappeared and went overseas. I think he might have come back for our formal or something. And I think he was playing for Tottenham when he first went over there, or he was in an academy or something over there.
I think he was part of one of those academies, yeah.
Yeah, and Massimo had a something along the lines of he had a deal at our high school where you had to play sport every Saturday. Whatever sport that was, you had to play a sport by the school. And Massimo – he either played goalkeeper or he didn't play at all from year 7 to year 11. And the deal was in year 12, though, you have to play – I don't even know what position he plays. But yeah, he had to play proper in year 12 for his year 12 season. And he ended up doing that. And I think he broke like the goal scoring
record.
He's
a midfielder.
Midfielder, sure. He scored a fuckload of goals that season, absolutely carved it up. I think that we won the soccer that year by quite some distance, and my school traditionally couldn't really care less about soccer. But the crowds that the soccer was getting. And I think off the back of Massimo, it's improved year on year, the soccer program over there. I actually think Waverley might be linked to Manchester City. They've got some sort of link there. I see it on social
media
now.
Some kind of partnership.
But yeah, I think Massimo's played a huge role in that at that school. And then obviously a few years later, he was playing in the Asian Cup.
Yep,
did he score a match winner? He's had a big moment, I remember.
Yeah, he's been quite an instrumental character behind that Socceroos squad. He did retire from international football last year.
Yep, I remember that,
but yeah, I mean, he was definitely a very well-known name on an international level.
And explain to me what has Massimo and his team done in the last few months?
So it's amazing. Yeah. After 22 years, Ipswich Town find themselves back in the Premier League. So they've been promoted. Obviously, we do not have relegation and promotion in rugby league, but it is the equivalent of Newtown Jets topping New South Wales Cup and then being able to play in the rugby league, which is, it's something that I love about the game.
Yeah.
Because you just can't beat that excitement of entering a whole new competition, a whole new level.
Yeah.
But they're also the first team, I believe, in a long time. Over the last 11 years, they've gone from League One to Championship, which is a whole division.
Yeah.
Above now to the Premier League. So they've achieved this in what is a relatively short period of time.
I know we've spoken about this before, and obviously it's the relegation thing is just an idea that is so foreign to me. I'm not used to it, but I just think it'd be so devastating if, for example, the South Sydney Rabbitohs with mass injuries this year, if they weren't in the NRL anymore and they're in reserve grade. And I guess it's just part of it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that I would just really struggle to get around.
Well, I mean, we've seen it in the Premier League. You have some really big clubs like Leicester City, for example. Leicester City won Premier League less than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They won the title and then they were relegated.
Have they been relegated?
They got promoted again.
Okay,
so, that's what tends to happen is those teams that are at that Premier League level, they might have a really bad season and end up a league down. But usually they're good enough to be promoted pretty quickly back into the system. But it's a really, really cool achievement from Ipswich Town. And if you saw footage, the city went crazy about it. The team did the bus drive through the city and basically a parade. Ed Sheeran is one of their high profile fans and he was in Miami at the time. And I gave you a clip there, but he was celebrating, saying that his beer tasted like promotion.
Oh, how good's that? That's unreal. And you know what? Like Massimo is one of those guys that you just want good things to happen to good people. Mm. And Massimo has just always been, even when he, in the little brief periods where he's come back to Australia and whatnot, like he's never been too big for his boots or anything. No. He's just a really, really good, humble guy, Massimo. And obviously I've followed his career loosely, but not heaps closely. But it is good to see. And he's been gone for, I finished in 2010. He's been gone for 15 years now. I just see him, achieve something like this. And for me to see those scenes of the bus going through the crowd, I can't believe how many people.
Yeah.
There.
I think it's one of those things. And I know when we talk about this type of stuff, there are a lot of people who have a team in the Premier League or they follow this sport. So hopefully if you're listening and watching this, you can relate or you've got a team or you can somewhat understand what a big deal it is.
Yeah.
But the England and football, soccer go hand in hand and it's such a cool achievement for this team and for Massimo to be part of this squad and part of this history-making moment for them. It would be an experience that would justify why he turned down international football and wanted to focus entirely on being a part of this squad and what they could do. Because when you're an Aussie playing international, you are traveling so much and you're trying to balance everything. Yep. Look at Mary Fowler. She's always in different countries doing international duty. And that's really, really difficult. And Aussies are known for being the international team that travels the most. They do the most miles around the world every year.
Yeah.
So I believe the Matildas are the most traveled team in the world.
Wow.
With all of the kilometers that they've done in the air. But you look at this and it's just a huge, huge achievement. And I think it's a reminder that he definitely made the right decision to turn down international duty.
Massimo would be 31, 32 now. How long does a soccer career sort of go for?
Look at a Cristiano Ronaldo to draw a very rough comparison.
Yeah.
He is considerably old for his position. He's 37, 38.
Okay, yeah.
Let me check that because I don't want to get that wrong because there are some Cristiano lovers out there.
Yeah.
But he's on the older end. He's 39.
Wow.
So he's a lot older. But what we're actually seeing is typically defensive players can last a bit longer in the game, and that is just because their positions require slightly less running or less pressure on the joints and everything like that. Goalkeepers can last the longest, and that's what we've typically seen. You know, Mark Schwarzer was a lot older when he retired. Matty Ryan, he's not young by any means, but they're still going.
Yeah.
A striker and the guys that are running around the pitch all day long don't tend to play until they're 40. Yeah, but we're seeing a real change in the game, and it's the same in footy. You're seeing that these guys are retiring later because they have a better understanding of their bodies. Yeah. They know what they're capable of. The medical staff are more attuned. Yeah. They know what's going on. Diets are better. Yeah. Lifestyles are better around the game. They're not going straight to the pub or coming from the pub to play footy anymore like they were back in the day. And that's the same in England. Yeah. All those stories of those 1980s Liverpool teams and stuff, I can tell you they were sometimes drunk on the field.
Yeah.
And they're happy to tell you that because that's just the culture that's from back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone like Massimo, I look at that and he could have a good couple of years left for sure, especially if he's playing at a high caliber. There's no need to stop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you the other thing about Massimo. And once again, I don't know the slightest thing about soccer. So pull me up whenever, Kat, and tell me to shut up. But the thing I always remember with Massimo is that, and especially like when he was playing for Australia and everything, like he's really not that big.
I think, and that's probably been the biggest, call it a culture shock for me, transitioning from speaking predominantly about football, soccer, Premier League and all of that. And then moving into rugby league where I've always been a fan of the game, but less attuned to what's going on. And I hadn't met that many. And I mean, to be fair, the ones I do know are units, but you kind of expect that there are going to be big guys in the game. But what I've come to notice is that they're all big.
They're all big.
And even Adam Reynolds that are shorter, they're stocky. They have a big presence. Like you talk about Michael Maguire, you don't need to be 6'7".
Yeah.
You just have a presence about you. Yeah, and that's what these guys have. And my favorite soccer player is Virgil van Dijk, who plays, he's a defensive player for Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest in the game. And he would probably be on par with some of the tallest in rugby league, but not the tallest, just kind of that average 6'4" big guy.
Yeah.
He's a monster in the Premier League.
And obviously it's a little bit different, I guess, because he's a goalkeeper, but like Matty Ryan, who's a big fan of the show. So shout out to Matty, big Supercoach player as well. Met him a couple of times.
That's nice. Now, I was saying he's not young by any means.
Not young by any means. Yeah.
Sorry, Matty. Neither am I.
but yeah, champion fellow. But when I met him, I was like, fuck, he's a big bit of gear. Yeah. But I know that Massimo is probably my height. Massimo might even be a little bit shorter than me.
But as a midfielder, you want to be more agile.
Yeah.
It's agility is huge. Speed is really big. They're not encouraged to have a heap of weight on them the way that rugby league players are.
Yeah.
Because it's not a contact sport.
Yeah.
You actually want to be able to get out of situations quickly. You don't want to have constant collisions or your center of gravity being so, so strong that you can't get away from situations and take the ball with you.
And shout out to Massimo, one of the original CBAs, Kathmandu.
Correct.
Saw him at the age of 13 down at Queen's Park, Death Valley, as we used to call it. And could just see the ability. We used to play soccer in PE occasionally, or football, as you call it. And it was very evident very early. I remember the PE teacher used to say, Massimo, pick two teammates and take on the other 21 of us. And he would fucking slap us.
Yeah.
He'd beat us with skill, or he'd just kick the ball so hard we'd all just go, nope, don't want anything to do with that. No, thank you. I've got maths after this.
I feel like you're being very modest and not being honest that Ipswich Town gave you a call and said, should we sign this Massimo guy?
No comment. They may have.
Yeah. That's what I thought. All right, let's move on. I love, we could talk about this, these two sports marrying one another forever. it's my love language. That's
Massimo's
for sure.
Just about the only thing I can add to it. So thank God.
We're going to improve on that.
We haven't watched
football and the season's almost over, but anyway.
Well, once we've got internet and we can watch anything, that'd be good. Yeah.
This is true. We've got to watch some rugby league first. All right, we're going to do the guest three now.
Oh, I've got a guest three.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
Sweet. Yeah, let's do it. It's been
now,
a while.
This one is from me. And I'm going to be doing it off the cuff because I've got all the information I could ever need in front of me and I'm just going to roll with it and we're going to see how we go. All right, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I played for four NRL clubs.
Four NRL clubs, bit of a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I hope it's not James Maloney, Kathmandu. That'd be too easy.
Was that a guess?
No, it wasn't a guess. I just...
Yeah, well, if you throw some names
I always find it. James Maloney, whenever you see people on social media doing these things, James Maloney's always the go-to.
Okay.
And I think it's always too easy. So that's good. All sweet. Continue.
I spent the largest portion of my rugby league career at the Canberra Raiders.
Four clubs, spent the largest portion of his career at the Canberra Raiders. Okay. Yep, okay. Cool. Next one.
I played as wing / fullback.
Oh, okay. That changes things. Okay, wing / fullback. I've got someone in mind that played for four clubs.
It's ridiculous that you have someone in mind.
I think he played for four clubs. But I'm not sure if he played the majority at the Canberra. The games that he's played for each club, is it the Canberra Raiders by a little bit or is it by quite a distance?
No, it's quite a substantial, heavily weighted towards Raiders.
Okay, okay.
Mm.
I've got one in mind. I'm not super confident. I might let you proceed.
Okay, okay. There's so many things I could say.
Yeah, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, you got to be careful here.
I feel like the next thing is just a dead giveaway. I've represented two different teams on an international level.
Oh, okay. Okay, represented two different teams on an international level.
One country, but another special team.
Oh, okay. No,
to not give away too
Blake
much.
Blake Ferguson?
No.
Oh, shit. Okay. No. I thought you were going to say special team as in like the Indigenous All-Stars and the Kangaroos. Okay, not
Fergo. You are, I will tell you that you're correct about Indigenous All-Stars, but not Kangaroos.
Okay, sweet. Okay, so now I've got to flip my thinking.
Flip your thinking a little bit.
So if they played for the Indigenous All-Stars, that means they've been around in the last 10 years or so. Played the majority of their time at the Canberra Raiders. Played for four clubs. You haven't given me an age or anything.
I'll give you.
I know they played for the All-Stars. That's okay. So I need someone from the Raiders that played for the Indigenous All-Stars. So other guys that have played majority for the Canberra Raiders. It's not Fergo. I'm trying to think. Obviously, like Terry Campisi, no. Trying to think of those football sides. Joel Thompson. Did he play for four clubs? Raiders, Manly, Dragons. Now you said fullback wing, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Was that one of the clues? Okay, fullback wing. Give me one more clue.
The other team that I've represented was Lebanon.
Oh, is it a Robson? A Robinson? Travis or Reese? I always get them confused. I'm going to say it is Reese.
Yes.
Reese Robinson.
Correct.
I'll tell you what, those Robinson boys are so underrated, it's not even funny. They used to play like they'd be floating around playing wing and centre in first grade or reserve grade kind of fringes. Then they'd get picked for Lebanon and they play halfback and fullback and they would absolutely carve it up. They were always such good players. So Reese played for the Raiders, Roosters.
Yep, Eels and Broncos. Not in that order. He started at the Bronx.
I wouldn't have got the
Raiders,
Broncos.
Eels, Roosters.
Yeah, he also played for Randwick Rugby.
He did. He played for Randwick Rugby. He also played, he did a year or two at New South Wales Waratahs.
Yes, I remember
that.
So he
did a code switch at one point.
I'll never forget my best mate, Nick. He was the 5'8 in that Randwick side.
Mm.
And he texts me, he goes, fuck, you're not going to believe who my winger is this week. It's Reece Robinson. I'm going to kick to him all day. We're going to score all day. And I remember going down to watch it. And that particular day, Reece had an absolute shocker.
Oh, wow.
Dropped balls left, right and centre, was all over the place. Just had a bad day, was unlucky.
We've all been there.
And I remember my mate Nick was just like, I can't fucking believe I had the Ferrari on my side and that happens to be the one day seemingly in the last 15 years he has a bad game of football. Unbelievable. Oh. Very good player, the Robinsons. Travis was good too.
Yeah, twins.
They're twins. I didn't realise that.
Yeah. I thought also what's really interesting about the Robinsons is they're a relative of Anthony Mundine. Yeah. Wow. They're also a relative of Nathan Merritt, and they're stepbrothers with Bo Champion, who plays South Sydney. Yeah.
That's wild.
I know.
Never knew any of that.
I didn't go looking for them knowing that their story was that interesting.
Why'd you pick Chris Robinson?
Lebanon.
Lebanon, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I had to pick something to help me narrow it down to a player, and I picked Lebanon.
How many games do you play for Lebanon? Have you got it there? Can you say?
Have a look. Played 9. 9, and then Lebanon 9s, he played 3.
And he played for the Indigenous All-Stars too?
Correct. He just played one.
Just one? What year was that? Have you got it there?
In 2013.
I think that was the first.
It would have been the first, I think.
Yeah, I was at that game actually. Yeah, right. Up there on the Gold Coast. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. I think I also, as someone who's mixed race, I find it really interesting that he's got the Lebanon representation, the Indigenous representation, but his surname is Robinson. So yeah. I'm really interested to know what his kind of cultural makeup is. It's really interesting. And I can't find anything here, but I'll do a bit of digging.
How many NRL games did Rhys Robinson play? Did you get to 100?
120.
120. Yeah. Good knock. Unreal.
With 83 of those were at the Canberra Raiders.
83 at the Raiders? Yeah. How many at the Roosters?
Just 4.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And 13 at the Bronx in 2018. And then after Raiders, he was at the Eels and he did 20 games. So almost like a full season basically with the Eels.
Yeah, right. I thought he played more for the Roosters. I thought he was there for a couple of years. Anyway, very, very good player. He was always in and out of first grade.
Might be why you felt like he was around longer.
Yeah. Yeah, but I always thought every single time Reece played, he was very good. And I think Travis played even less games from memory, but he was also a gun. I'll tell you what, whenever they ran out for Lebanon Cart, they always played, they always lifted that team to a level that, respectfully considering their teams and squads, they shouldn't have been at. Yeah. But those boys always just lifted them. I always found it really entertaining, whether it be World Cups or friendlies, to watch Lebanon, because these two would pass the ball to each other 7 times and just come up with something out of absolutely nothing.
That's awesome.
Always entertaining.
That's kind of the legacy, right? That's what we're trying to consistently replicate with those sides, because what's really interesting about Lebanon Rugby League is that when you look at that squad, so many of those players are outsourced from Australia.
Yep.
Because we have such strong Lebanese representation here. And I remember talking to Josh Mansour about going over for the last Rugby League World Cup, and Maddie Georges, who's done a bit of stuff to help us out here at the CBA, he was their marketing guy. And so he did all of their videos and all their social media. And so he had all the inside scoops as well. There are some amazing stories that have come out of that World Cup with that team. But I think more interesting is the fact that there were so many Aussie blokes that flew over, and the bond that they have as Lebanese Australians is like none other. Just the other day when I was at the Lebanon Australia Socceroos game, that made sense. Australia being the Socceroos, I saw Dewey and Mitch Moses together, and you see all these Lebanese guys just hanging out all the time, and I love it. But I think that's the beauty of these international squads and the bond that these guys can build.
Is it Dewey or Dwayhi?
Dwayhi. I mean, in Arabic, it's like Dwayhi. Yeah. Dwayhi. But everyone says Dewey.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Because I remember also like when I was like a teenager and stuff, like, and even when I was like 18, you know, 18 to sort of 21, they'd have a Lebanon side as well that would play a couple of games a year. And a lot of the guys would just come from our local A grade. Like there's a family, the El Zabiders who live in Mascot, who the three brothers were about 8 years apart, but they'd all get picked into the team and all play together, which was really cool. None of them kicked on to first grade, but they were all very, very good players from Mascot there. And it was always cool to see how much pride they had
it's really
going into there and everything. So, yeah, that's unreal. It has come so far.
It has. And I'm excited to see where it goes. We've got to amp up a bit of the Lebanon I need a little Lebanon stick here.
We need something in here. Yeah, for sure. We do. The Cedars?
Yeah, the Cedars.
Cedars, yeah.
Do you know why?
It's a cool jersey.
Do you know why it's the Cedars?
No, tell me.
The cedar tree is the what's on our flag.
Yes, of course it is.
So the cedar tree is the tree of Lebanon. It's so even in our football, like our soccer teams, they're called the Cedars also. And then the women's team is called the Lady Cedars.
Yeah, right. I reckon if I would have put 10 seconds of thought into that, I could have
I think you could have gotten. I was actually pretty surprised that you said, oh, no, explain it to me.
That was stupid of me.
But for anyone at home that didn't know, that is the tree that is on the flag of Lebanon.
Yeah. Can we get a Lebanon jersey in there? They are That's especially Maddie,
I believe
ones.
Maddie Georges has done me a favor and he's collected something for me. But we'll have to follow up on that.
Shout out to Maddie Georges. Good man.
Yeah, legend. All right. Well, that's it for the catch up this week. I think we covered all the biggest stories. We had a nice catch up, which is at the end of the day, that's the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
But it was great to have you back in the hot seat. How'd you find it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I missed it last week. We're going to have plenty to talk about this week coming. I'm actually going over to Auckland to watch my brother play Jersey Flag over there this weekend. So I'll be so in exciting. Auckland. So if anyone's out there wants to put me up for a little feed at somewhere, get some social media clout off there, by all means, reach out. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of yarns to come out of that. And then, Kat, this time next week, we're going to be getting ready to head up to Bris Vegas.
We are. We're going to be trying to fit a lot of content into two days before we get to Magic Round.
We sure are. Yeah, we've got the live show. We've got the About Even, so myself and Hello Sport, we'll be doing a live show on Friday at Lefty's, Friday afternoon. I believe that is a ticketed event. They're already sold out, but we'll be there and thereabouts. And then on Saturday, the Bloke Community, and I assume, Kat, you'll come with us on Saturday. We'll be at the Caxton doing a meet and greet as well up there on Saturday. I think it's between 1 and 2 p.m. in the car park out there. So, yeah, can't wait to meet you all. That's going to be an unreal weekend, my favorite weekend of the year, Kat.
I've never been to Magic Round before. I love Suncorp Stadium, so I cannot wait to just see back-to-back footy out of there.
The Rook on debut.
I hope I can fulfill the expectations.
Yeah, there's bright lights up there at Suncorp.
Yeah.
There's bright lights at Suncorp, and then the Caxton are the brightest lights this planet has.
I don't
to
think
offer.
Guru will be leaving the Caxton the entire time. I'll be doing the hard yards at Suncorp for both of us.
Yes, you will. Good times.
All right. Well, until next week, we will bring you something exciting for the catch up. But I think more than anything, get excited for the catch up content after Magic Round. We'll make sure we cover as much of the behind the scenes as we can, give you a bit of the inside scoop, some interviews, whatever we can muster and pull together. We'll make sure that it is well and truly the content that you want to see. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Guru.
Thank you, legends. Appreciate yous.
And we'll catch you next week. Bye, guys.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.